I asked our pastor, I said, "Pastor, you want to go up and introduce me?" He said, "You don't need none." I said, "Thank you very much." I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. But I'm glad to be here today. I'm thankful for the opportunity to stand before you and our Father in heaven and bring a message that he's given me. You know, it was somewhere around the 1st of December, our pastor come to me and he said, "Chuck," he said, "the Baptist Men Day is coming up. You want to preach?" I said, "You bet. You bet." Anytime I can get him out of the pulpit. Don't worry, he'll get me back for that one. But anyway, I said, "Yes, sir, I'd love to." And I didn't give it a whole lot of thought from that point on. You know, I said, that was around the 1st of December. And I said, "Well, this ain't till January the 31st. Guess what? It got here pretty quick. But as I was thinking about it along here and there and just, you know, wondering where to go and where the Lord was leading me with this, I don't sleep real good. And if any of y'all know my wife, she will testify to that. Well, I hadn't given this sermon a whole lot of thought yet, and it was December the 13th, and I lay down at night to go to sleep. I couldn't sleep. And as I laid there and looked at the ceiling and watched things on the wall and what have you, the Spirit of God came to me that dwells within me, and he gave me four verses of Scripture. He did not give me what book, what chapter, what verse, but he gave me the words of these verses. And as I had those put into my mind and I began to preach to myself there that night in the bed and what would go forth, and I got up, I couldn't sleep, I got up, I walked in the living room, and it was about 1 o'clock in the morning, and I wrote those words down. I did not look in my Bible or concordance to find out exactly where they were, what chapter and what verse and what book. I went back and I laid back down, and I went sound asleep. So I believe at that point, God gave me this message. I believe he gave it to me for this morning, this Baptist Men's Day, to be addressed to the men of this Liberty Hill Baptist Church as well as the ladies and the remainder of the congregation. I believe that the words that I'm going to speak to you this morning are from Christ. I believe they come from the Spirit of God that dwells within me and dwells within you. There's probably going to be a time this morning where I might step on your toes. You may not receive this message very good. But then again, you may say, "Hey, that's just what I need to hear." Now, our first verse this morning is going to start in the book of Matthew. It's going to be in chapter 23 and verse 24. Did not prepare an outline because I wasn't real sure this is where we were going. So as we're going to look at these four verses of Scripture today, I pray that this message will touch your heart as it has mine. But before we go, will you bow with me in a word of prayer? Father, as we bow before you today, I thank you for allowing me to be where I'm at. I praise you for the people that are in your house. I know that exactly everyone you want here is here right now. I pray, Lord, that the words that I speak are from you and only you, that I will be removed and the Spirit of God will come through. I pray that you'll touch us now. May these words bring us closer. May, Father, we be about your business. And may we seek you in our lives from now to eternity. For it's in Christ's name. Amen. Jesus is talking to the scribes and the Pharisees. And he's really getting on to them. And as I laid in that bed on that December the 13th night, Christ got on to me. And this is the words that Jesus said. "Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel." Jesus is talking about their religious rituals and things that took place about clean and unclean animals and how they would strain at a gnat and let a camel walk through the door. Folks, today at Liberty Hill Baptist Church, we need to major on the major things in lives and let the little minor things go aside. Where are we at here at this church? Do we sweat the small stuff? At times we do. I know in my life that I've majored on things that really have not a whole lot of meaning. And then I've let the major things slip by. A major thing such as bringing folks to Jesus Christ, telling others about His plan of salvation, allowing myself to be in the right place in the right time and not keep my mouth shut. To bring the gospel to others is part of yours and my fulfillment for what Christ has for us to do. There's been many times when I have not had my priorities in the right order. When I've sought the things that I wanted to do more than what Christ wanted me to do. That I would strain at the little gnat while I allowed the camel to walk through the front door. Where are my priorities? Am I sweating the small stuff? And do I major on the minor things of life? In the teachings that Christ has showed us in His inspired word, we are to major on the major things of God. And don't sweat the small stuff. To put our priorities first. You know, when I was in high school, I played a little sports, and they give us a t-shirt. And we would practice in this t-shirt. And in this t-shirt, it would say, team, across right here, in big old letters. And right up under it, in two little bitty small letters, it said, me. Folks, it would do you and I good to take Christ Jesus and put Him A number one first in huge letters across our chest and worry about the things of God and major on those things of His life and worry about ours secondly. And as we spend our lives and we strain at the small stuff and not major so much on the big stuff, we go to the next verse that I have in mind this morning. And it ought to be pretty easy to find. It's the last one in the Bible. It's Revelation. The revelation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Revelation 3, verse 15 and 16. You know, this morning I come to the AM service and was able to bring this message. And as I looked out amongst the congregation, the AM service is no different from the second service. We're all God's people. And what we are gathered here this morning to do is to worship God, to bless Him, to exalt our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But Christ is going to tell us something this morning that may touch us. He's going to tell us something this morning that might not make us very happy. Church, we're failing Him every day. We are failing the one that has saved us every day. Revelation 3, 15 and 16 says, I know thy works. That thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. That's not good. That's not good at all. Lukewarm. I brought the little thing this morning in the early service about the cup of coffee that you have to drink in the mornings. You get up in the mornings and you go in there and the ones of us who drink coffee in the mornings, well, we pour us a cup of coffee and Carrie says I have a little coffee with my sugar, but when we have our coffee, we walk around the house, we do little things, we take a drink, we go back and set it down. I went this morning and I had me some and I walked back to the back and I shaved and I come back and I picked up my cup of coffee and put it to my lips and taste and it was lukewarm. What did I do? I spit it out. Then I poured the cup down the drain. Folks, we are living in the Laodicean times. I believe, and as well as many of you in here believe, that Christ is coming again and is right around the corner. And I'm telling you this morning that he is telling us that we are neither hot nor cold. He wishes we were one or the other, to where we could be cold, we could be refreshing. But if we're hot, we're soothing. But lukewarm is neither. Folks, we got to get it. We've got to be hot or cold for Christ. Hot at the good times when we tell others about Jesus, and cold when we need to be refreshed. The works of the Laodicean church made Christ want to vomit the believers out of his mouth. It comes straight out of the Bible, folks. We're failing him, and we're failing him every day. The Lord rejects the half-hearted efforts of a self-satisfied Christian. How easy it is for us to be lukewarm today. You're sitting in here in this church warm. And if you're sitting in here this morning and you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're safe. And it's easy for me to get self-satisfied because I'm safe. I've had the blessed assurance that I'm going to heaven. I have that blessed assurance that when I leave this body, I'm to be present with the Lord. I have that. But it's also made me lazy. It's also made me not worry about my brothers that are dying and going to hell because I'm self-satisfied. The Bible says that Christ rejects the half-hearted efforts of a self-satisfied Christian. Anything we do in the name of Jesus, he receives. But when we do it in our own name, it says that he rejects it. It's easy to sit here and go, hey, I'm safe. Why do I need to worry about my brother? I'm safe. Why do I need to worry about a lost and dying world? I'm safe. I'm just going to stay in my own comfort zone. Folks, this morning, this message is to get you out of that comfort zone. To get out and tell others about Jesus Christ. I believe that we are put on this earth for two things. First is to have a relationship with God. And second is to get out and tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ. And I believe when you quit being at God's hand and doing God's work on this earth, you are no longer helping him. And I believe when those times come that the Father picks a rose. I believe this morning that we have to quit being self-satisfied. I believe this morning that we have to quit doing things half-heartedly. And I believe this morning we need to get hot. Christ says, I wish that you were hot or you were cold. I think we're here at the end times. Going to the third verse, which is in Luke 23 and 34. I made a promise to my Savior several years ago. I said, Lord, as long as you've given me the opportunity to stand before people, I will never speak a message without presenting you on Calvary's cross. And as far as I know, and I think my wife has heard just about every message I've ever brought, I don't think I've let him down yet. And I'm not going to this morning. Luke 23:34 says, Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What's Jesus talking about? What question is he asking? What question do we ask this morning? What's he talking about? For they know not what they do. If we look at history of the Bible and the things that were taught at that time, we can see that Christ was on Calvary and he was nailed to a tree, and the soldiers and the scribes and the Pharisees had put him there through a mock trial. We see in our learning of the Bible that that's who Jesus is talking about, and he is. He's asking the Father to forgive them for what they're doing. They don't know who they're crucifying. They don't know what's taking place. But you and I today, as we can look back on time and see what took place, we knew that that had to happen. But not only is Christ saying, Father, please forgive them, for they know not what they do. He is saying that for you and I this morning. For if on Calvary he would not pray that prayer today, we would be lost. We would be without hope. He is making intercessory prayer for you and I. He was making intercessory prayer for the soldiers and the scribes and the Pharisee at Calvary at that day. Today he is in heaven making intercessory prayer for you. They know not what they do. Forgive them, Lord. Christ is there at the right hand throne of the Father, and he's saying, forgive them, Lord. This very hour, from that moment there that he hung on Calvary's cross to right this very day to the next few minutes till tomorrow and the next years to come until his return, he is making intercessory prayer, and he's saying, Father, forgive them. Forgive them for their murderers. Forgive them for their stealing. Father, forgive them for the adultery, for lying, for cheating. Father, forgive them for their pridefulness. Father, forgive them for their self-centeredness. Father, for their not tithing. Father, forgive them for not caring for others, not telling others about me. Father, forgive them. He's praying for you right now. Father, forgive them. Forgive them for just not caring. For just not caring. Are we guilty of that? You bet we are. Each and every one of us sitting here this morning, I've been guilty of it. And I know you have too, for just not caring enough. For standing up and speaking at one time or another on behalf of my Lord and Savior. For that opportunity that I had at Walmart last week to tell somebody about Jesus and I let it go by the wayside. Father, forgive Chuck for just not caring enough to tell others about me so I can give them eternal hope, that I can give them eternal salvation. Father, forgive them. Christ is there at the right-hand throne of the Father. And we confess our sins of our life to Him and ask for forgiveness. It is, the Bible tells us it is cast as far as the east is from the west. Folks, as we sin, it gets easier to sin. And we can stop caring. But Christ is there saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They know not what they do. We've got to get up and look at ourselves in the mirror from time to time and try to see ourselves as Christ sees us. Where do we stand? And do we care? And are we moving forward for Christ Jesus? Am I hot? Or am I cold? Or am I lukewarm? Am I straining at the gnat? Why allow the camel to walk down the aisles of our church? Folks, we got to get ourselves together. Father, forgive them, for they don't understand what they're doing. We've got to care, folks. We've got to care. Our fourth verse this morning is in Hebrews, if you can find your way to Hebrews. Hebrews 9, chapter 9 and verse 27. I believe that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, and I believe he wrote this verse. And I believe Paul had some insight at this time in his life that I don't have. But I do know that Paul wrote the divinely inspired Word of God. And it says in Hebrews 9:27, and it is appointed for men to die once, but after that the judgment. It is appointed for men to die once. You know, if unless we're here today or tomorrow or the following day is still alive upon this earth, that you and I are going to die. Once. Physically. Lost folks will die twice, physically and spiritually. But today it is appointed that men to die once. And then the judgment. I don't would imagine that anyone got up this morning thinking, well, today's the day that I'm going to die. When we got up this morning, we got up and we said, okay, we're going to get ourselves ready to go to church. We're going to find us some pretty nice clothes. We may even shower. I hope all of you brush your teeth. If not, I got some chewing gum. But we didn't rise up out of our racks this morning to say, okay, today's going to be a good day to die. But would that be such a bad idea? Because if we have Christ on our mind and his return or are going to see him, to be absent from the body, to be present with Christ, we're going to have his business at heart. We're going to be working for him. He will not catch us like a thief in the night. Because we're going to be looking for his return, or we're going to be looking to go see him. Recently, I've been really undecided on whether or not to bring this point again, but I'm going to have to bring it. Recently, I preached a funeral of a young man. I'm going to call him young. He's the same age as I was. I knew him as a young man. I knew him as a friend. When he got up that morning, I don't think there was nothing in his mind that said that that would be his last day on earth. But it was. But now I know and have the assurance in my heart that that man that passed away that these few short weeks ago is in heaven with my Lord and Savior. And his time here on earth is done. And now he will stand the judgment. Do I get up in the mornings and wonder, is today going to be my last day? And if it is, am I doing the right thing for Christ? How will our judgment go? How, you have to ask myself, how will my judgment go? Where will I stand? Where will you stand? Men of this church, where will you stand when the judgment comes before Christ Jesus? Will you be before the judgment seat of Christ? Or are you going to stand before the great white throne of judgment? If you don't know the difference, let me tell them to you right quick. The judgment seat is for the saved people of this world, and you will be received into heaven. And if you stand before the great white throne of judgment, you are going to be sentenced to eternal damnation with Satan in the lake of fire. That's the difference. You have the choice. You have the choice to stand where you want to before Christ Jesus. He hung on Calvary's cross, that emblem that stands behind this pulpit. He hung on that cross for you and for me. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So you can make the choice whether or not you will stand before the judgment seat or the great white throne of judgment. It is appointed for men once to die. But after that, the judgment. You have the choice today. You have reasoning within yourself to ask yourself that question. Do I know Jesus Christ in my mind only? Or do I have him in my heart? Have I made him Lord of my life? Not only Savior, but Lord. And where will I stand? Where will I stand before the judgment seat? I believe that we will be judged for our lives. I also believe, until the judgment comes, our life never quits casting a shadow. Until history stops, every person that you have touched, good or bad, will continue to reflect on you. Where will I stand? How will my judgment go? How will my judgment go? Folks, let me tell you something. Today there's a solution. It's simple. For every problem in this church, for every problem in your life, for every problem in our economy, for every problem in our government, and for every problem in this world, there is one solution. One single solution. Four words. Four simple words. Get right with God. Simple. This world that has come so far intellectually can't understand the simple basic meaning that we've got to get right with God, folks. If you're upset about things in this church, take it to God. He will guide you. If you're upset about things in your relationship at home, take it to God. If you're upset about your economy and your job, take it to God. He'll guide you. If you don't believe your God's not big enough to solve every problem in your life today, I don't know why you're sitting in here. And that's basic truth. Don't come to this place just so you look good in front of other folks. You come here today because you are worshiping God. Not Mike Patterson or Mike Henderson or even myself or this church or this building, but you are here to bless God and God only. Get right with God. How? I've given you an answer. Get right with God. That's our solution. How? How do you get right with God? Through prayer. Pastor, the very first prayer Christ hears from a lost person is a prayer, Lord, forgive me, right? He presents that to God, intercessory for you and me, right? The very first prayer God knows from Chuck was the one that I prayed, Lord, forgive me and be my Lord and Savior. That's how we begin to get right with God, through prayer. We start with prayer. We start with prayer of salvation, and then we move our life and we pray daily. And then we have our devotion time. Through prayer and devotion. Devotion, what is devotion? Devotion is getting a time every day of your life where you sit down with the Bible, God's Bible, and you spend time in prayer and reading His Word and communicating with Him. Devotion. That's how we get right with God, through devotion. That builds a relationship between you and God, is to have prayer and devotion, and we become and we get a relationship with God. That's what makes Him our Lord. But how many times will you walk out of this church on Sunday morning, go get in your car, drive to your house, grab your Bible and walk into the foyer, and you set it down on the counter there in the foyer and you don't touch it again until next Sunday morning when it's time to get up and go to church? I've done it, you've done it, we've all done it. We've got to get right with God, folks. We get right with God, we don't strain at the gnat. We become hot. We get hot for God. We're about His business and we're about His work, and He wants to keep us. When we're right with God, Christ doesn't have to pray that intercessory prayer for us as much. For we're trying to live our lives in His will and do be about His business and be about His work. And guess what happens? We begin caring. When we get right with God, we begin caring. And then you know within your heart and within your mind how that judgment's going to go. How is that judgment going to go? Prayer, devotion, relationship. Prayer. Devotion, builds a relationship that makes Christ Jesus your Lord. You know, some will agree with me with this and some will not, but there's been other folks say the same thing, that before Christ's return, and I believe it's not far away, that this world's going to see a great revival. And I believe this world will see a great revival. And as people of God's church, I feel in my heart that we've been praying for revival. We've got a revival set, if you will, for the spring with Keith Fordham. I know him. I sit right there about where Raymond's sitting several years ago when my daughter was just a baby, and give my life back to God full time with Keith Fordham standing in this pulpit. That was revival for me. But folks, revival has to start within ourselves. We've been praying for it. The church has been praying for it. I think God's trying to get the attention of the church to where we will return into revival and the nations can follow. We've got to get on fire. We've got to get hot for God. We've got to get right with God. Solution. The solution to all problems. Recently, the pastor brought a message, and in that message was 1 Peter 5:7. Had to do with anxiety. You remember that, no? God says, turn your things over to me because I care for you. In other words, God says, I love you. Give me your cares. Get right with me. God wants you to get right with Him today. Not tomorrow, not after you go out the door, but this morning in this sanctuary. He wants you to get right with Him. See yourself as Christ sees you. Don't strain at the gnat and let the camel come in. He wants you to be hot for Christ. He wants you to care for others. And you will know in your mind, and you'll have that blessed assurance where you will stand in the judgment. Get right with God. If you bow with me, please. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for allowing me to stand before your people. Father, I pray that these are the words that you had spoken. Go with us now the remainder of this service. May we bless you and exalt you. Should there be someone here this morning that their relationship with you needs to change for the better, may that take place. Or should someone need you, Lord Jesus, to pray to be your Lord and Savior, I pray that they won't hesitate. I pray we'll come down to the front. I pray, Lord God, that we will cast our cares upon you today, for you love us. For it's in Jesus' name. Amen.
dealt with priorities. You know, we get upset at that sort of strange things in this church. But then we have other things that just fly right by us that ought to upset us. You know, the idea of nauseating God is not a good thought. But I don't know about you. You know, sometimes I feel lukewarm. Sometimes I don't have an anticipation or an expectation of what God might do on a particular Sunday. That's not a good thing for a preacher to have. We ought to be looking for God to move every day, all the time, because He has the power. It's our expectations. I think realizing and understanding that if you're not ready to die, you're not ready to live. A lot of people think, I've got all the time in the world. I've got time to get my life in order. No, you don't. People are watching. People are looking at you. They're evaluating. They're trying to decide if that's what being a Christian is. I don't know if I'm going to be one. You know, I really believe God does want to revive us. And I believe that revival is an experience of the church. You know, we always want to talk about people getting saved. That's not the first and foremost priority of the Bible. First and foremost is to get the Christians away as we go to sleep. We're kind of on cruise control. I was watching the news the other night. The weatherman said, don't drive in ice with the cruise control on. Because when you hit a patch of ice, you lose total control. Isn't it amazing how sometimes we're just cruising right along and not really paying attention? All of a sudden, we hit a sweet spot where we go all out of control. The reason is because God is supposed to be your co-pilot. He's supposed to be your pilot. You know, I really do believe that God's got something good in store for them to go. I believe that right now, like Chuck said, right now, Jesus is, He's watching us and He's whispering to the Father and saying,
just as I am, poor wretched, blind, sight riches, healing of the mind. Yea, all I need in faithful thankful am. I come.
p.m. I encourage you to come back and be supportive of our young folks, our young adults. They're going to be having charge of the service tonight. Mike Henderson will be bringing the message. They'll be bringing music and some more things. And you don't want to miss it if you want to come and be a part of that. Also, remember all the activities and things that are going on next week. And then next Sunday, we start a new sermon series going verse by verse through Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus. And you know, how many of you have been down 1941 and heading toward Barnesville, and you've seen that house, that mansion that's not quite finished, and the Rolls Royce under the tarp? And have you seen that place that's kind of just falling apart? And all, you know, it to me, it's a perfect picture of what our economy is going through right now. Well, the letter that Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus talks about how rich we are in Christ Jesus. And so the series is called Living Large, Enjoy Our Riches in Christ. And folks, we need to remember just how blessed we are. And I encourage you to come back and be a part of that. But most of all, what I encourage you to do is for the remainder of this day, and if God is gracious to give us days to come, remember to be kind. Remember to be right with God and tell people about Jesus, all right? I love you. I appreciate you for being here. Pat a man on the back that was in the choir and tell him to appreciate him. And I'm going to ask Chuck Conklin, if he will, to go back and grab his wife and stand back there, and these folks are going to want to take it. And I'll do the later thing. I'll close in prayer. Right after Paul leads in the song, Paul, listen.
Blessing. What mighty God is.